We're joined on the line now by Sheila Fleming. Good morning, or good afternoon, sorry, because it's just after 12. Sheila, how are you?
Great, thanks, Connor.
Thanks for joining us again. And for our listeners, just to update us that we spoke, was it a couple of months ago, about Maura going off to do this swim across the English Channel?
That's right. Several months ago, she was still in training. And she had been given her slot, of course, since last year that she could...
Yeah, because you can't just turn up on the beach and say, I'm swimming over there. Sure, you can't.
Absolutely not, no. And in fact, they won't let you do it from the French side anymore.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you can only do it from the English side. And there are only certain boats and pilots who've been certified to take swimmers out, whether they're doing a relay or whether they're doing individual swims, just as Maura did.
Right, right. So you literally have to get all the paperwork, like getting a license, really, isn't it?
Yes, and they have to get the license. She has to pre-qualify,
right,
in whatever country you are from, and people from all over the world do it. And then, of course, not only have you to hire that boat and the pilot, whether singly or in a group, but you have to then notify an observer. If
all
you
right.
want to get the official,
all right, the accreditation, like the Guinness Book of Records or whatever,
exactly like that.
Well, the good news is, and the reason you contacted us again was that Maura actually got across in 16 hours and 23 minutes. Isn't that correct?
That's it, exactly. On the 10th of July, she set off at 5:38 in the morning.
God.
And I know that because I had to get up at 4 myself a.m. in Dover to walk down to the beach to be there to observe her. You know, I was
right.
just watching her
right.
with my husband taking off. And the boat, the Optimist was the name of the boat, left the marina and motored around to the beach and then stopped. The boat couldn't obviously go in up onto this stony beach, so Maura
yeah.
had to hop out of the boat, swim and walk in onto the stony beach.
Oh, right, and then
swim. And then the observer blows a horn.
Right.
She
Gosh.
Then walks in off the beach and starts her swim. So she left the beach and started swimming at 5:38 a.m.
Gosh.
And she didn't stop swimming until after 10 p.m. that night. Now, obviously, she stopped and paddled in the water for a couple of times when they threw her out her bottle of liquid.
Yeah, because you'd need something to keep you going, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And so all of those... bottles were prepared, the day or so before by her.
Yeah.
And they threw them out on a line so they could pull them back in when she was
right,
finished with
right,
them.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. Like, it's an amazing story. Well, for anybody to even attempt something like this is incredible.
And of course, the really big news was twice she was sort of delayed. You know, the pilot said, no, the weather... in the next 12 hours, it will be better for you, because he sort of judges according to the swimming style and strength.
Right.
And then computing that with the weather conditions that are forecast, he trying to optimize his turnover.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, he slots in people who are doing it in a relay of four people or things like that, as opposed to an individual swimmer who will obviously take longer than a relay.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you look in on the Pilot Federation website, the Channel Swimming Pilot Federation website in England, you'll see how many teams from around the world attempted it. And of course, and they have a separate group for the solo swims.
Right.
So he because he knew Maura's style of swimming, he eventually said to her at 10 o'clock the night before, 10 p.m., it looks like a go in the morning after the high tide.
Right, okay.
Now, the high tide was something like 5 a.m.
Right, okay.
And so she was all ready and keyed up to go and, as I say, set off at 5:38 the next morning.
Gosh, and you have to be basted like a turkey, really, haven't you, because it's so cold.
Oh, yes, all of that. Yeah, definitely basted up with creams and lotions. And then it was a fine day for her, and she said it was very, very nice swimming with the sun on your back. But of course, as you say, you have to be basted up,
not only
to keep the cold out, the temperature of the water, but to keep from getting sunburned.
Yes, yes, of course, yeah. Yeah, never thought of that bit.
And you're just in an ordinary hat and an ordinary swimming costume, you know, not a wetsuit or anything like
that. Or a dry suit or anything like that, right, okay. Yeah. So it's
according to Captain Matthews' rules back in 1875 or something.
Okay, so it's literally your swimsuit and your cap, and there can be no buoyancy aids at all or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. Some of them are allowed to have, you can put light sticks around you so that if it does start getting dark, you have, you know, some identification.
Right, okay.
And the boat then heads off and you're following the boat, you know, to
That's
a degree.
Brilliant.
Obviously, you don't want to be in the wash of the boat.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and then depending on the wind, you want to be on the one side or other of the wash or the boat. So you have to be able to breathe from both sides. You're not to be a swimmer who can only breathe with your mouth going to one side or your head turning to one side all the time, you know.
And the great thing is that Moore actually raised nearly €27,000 for Build for Life, which is a cystic fibrosis charity. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. I mean, an absolutely amazing total that she raised, thanks to all the donations from around Ireland and indeed America, where she lives now, but especially in Ireland. Anyone knows about cystic fibrosis and the need for isolation facilities, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And so Build for Life, the voluntary charity that she raised the money for, is over the moon with the amount she raised individually like that. And of course, Maura supplied all her own funds for you know, fares and flights and hiring things. So every penny
he raised
is going straight to Build for Life.
Well, fair play to her, you know.
Like,
it's not an easy, like, I don't know how I might be able to swim a length of a pool, but to actually be fit enough to swim this far is a huge achievement. And are we allowed to mention a lady's age? Because she's not a particularly, you know, young lady. Would that be, am I allowed to say that?
That is correct.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, and I'm her older sister. But
okay, well, we won't mention her age then, because, you know, like,
Maura was 59 the day before.
Excellent.
She was 59 on the 9th of July. And she started her swim on the 10th of July.
Right.
And she had set a goal a year previously in her head that she wanted to do it before she was 60.
Right.
And we were just totally amazed afterwards when a reporter rang us and said, you know, she's the oldest person, Irish person, ever to swim the Channel.
Wow.
And we never knew that.
Right, right. So that's a first as well.
We were expecting to say the oldest Irish woman.
Yes.
But no, he said, no, the oldest Irish person.
Right.
We couldn't believe it,
yeah,
you know?
That's a fantastic achievement,
absolutely.
Really. It really is. But anyway, what's her next? Where is she going next? Like, is she going to swim the Atlantic or something next, or is she going to take a break?
Well, she's done a few sea swims since, but nothing of that nothing of that length. You know, 5 kilometres, those are the kind of ones. And when she came back to Ireland immediately after the English Channel swim, she got the ferry back to Dublin, and she was using my car to have a holiday with a couple of American friends. She actually met up with several open sea swimmers groups around Ireland and Leinster.
Right.
And took part in their Saturday swim.
Oh, right,
you know?
Okay, right.
And then on the 10th of July, we had a very big party for her out in my brother's garden. He was on the boat with her.
Oh, yeah, this is her brother, Anthony.
My brother Anthony, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a gardener here in Dublin.
Right.
He hosted the party, and lots of her friends from her teenagehood, her adult life, and of course our extended family and other donors came along.
Brilliant.
On the day, and we had a great party that Sunday, and she flew home the next day to her own home in Boston.
Right. Well, look, it's a fantastic story, and I'm glad that you got back to us, because, you know, we covered it, as we said, a few months ago, and you emailed last week, and I'm delighted that you did, because just to, if you can pass on our sincere congratulations to her, and please keep in touch with her next venture, if you wouldn't mind just keeping us in the loop. And, you know, Sheila, you're very good. Can people still donate?
They can, actually. The My Charity website, keeping her page, Maura Toomey, open, because some of the sponsorship cards and some of the donations, now that people have heard that she successfully did it, are coming in, which is amazing. And we are internally grateful, our family and particularly Maura herself. She said it made the swim and the training easier, knowing she was doing it for a good cause, you know?
It sort of
gave her that extra little thing to think about when she was in the water.
Exactly.
You know?
Give her a bit of determination. Not that I'd say she needed much. But Sheila, thanks very much for coming on again. And as I said, please pass on our hearty congratulations to her. And maybe someday she'll come in and visit us the next time she's over on Near FM.
Indeed, yeah, because she, as you know, she taught in school out that area.
That's right, yeah, she did down in Kilbarrick. Well, look, Sheila, thanks very much, and
thank you, Connor.
No bother.